A liberated soul realizes the absolute personality of Godhead, who is transcendental and who is manifest as a reflection even in the false ego. He is the support of the material cause and he enters into everything. He is absolute, one without a second, and he is the eyes of the illusory energy. It is described when a man looks into the eyes of a beautiful woman, he is captured. For that reason, since time immemorial, women have adopted the practice to border their eyes so that the man doesn't look at the nose top or somewhere else, but right inside. It is made very easy with the schminke. It is described that this was not only practiced in modern time, it was practiced even amongst the women of Ravan. Almatattva Prabhu says that from here the eyebrows to the eyelids, there were 12 different colors. Consciously, for 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. It must have looked very extraordinary. So, because through the eyes, the attractive potency is coming. We hear that the consciousness, in its wakeful state, resides most visibly in the eyes. You see, there's a glimmering in the eyes. But when sleep occurs, and someone sleeps, then the consciousness goes from the eyes into the throat. Therefore, you might have, it's just a side effect, a side explanation for those of you who are esoterically interested. When you are attacked in the sleep, then sometimes there's an attack on your throat. You might have sleep this in the morning hours when you sleep at the wrong time. Then the ghosts come and grab you by the throat. I have seen this. Gopinath Prabhu has a habit to, sometimes when he rests, he opens his eyes. And I have studied his eyes sometimes. It is remarkable. There is no light any longer in the eyes. It is the consciousness has retraced and has gone somewhere. It is no longer visible in the eyes. So anyways, in wakeful state, and that's when we usually look at each other's eyes, then the consciousness is there in the eyes, and with it, all the material desires, since the consciousness is polluted by this material, by material desires, very much. Someone who is in a certain kind of consciousness, he sees according to that consciousness. For instance, someone who is in a car consciousness, he always will estimate you according to your car. When you have a Yugo car, then you are not so fantastic. But when you drive in a Niemetz car, Mercedes, then you are all of a sudden a great person. See, according to the consciousness, someone sees you. A lusty man, when he looks out into the world, he sees a bewildering array of beautiful ladies just made for his sense gratification, or fall down if he happens to be a devotee who is lusty. So, consciousness which resides in the eyes can be pure consciousness. That's when you see a pure devotee, you are immediately purified. Or it can, of course, be impure consciousness. When you look at someone who is lusty, then this it's not very good. Therefore, brahmacharis are, in principle, advised not to look into the eyes of the opposite sex. They will look at the feet or somewhere and address her as mother. Now, this is sometimes very difficult to do on Sankirtan. It is not very practical. But in traditional sense, we are not advised to look into the eyes of the women, especially not Kami. I mean, these lusty women. No, our Vaishnava ladies are great souls. Still, we should be a little careful as brahmacharis, but especially not we are advised to look into the eyes of the of lusty eyes, of materialistic women. So, because the consciousness is there. Now, this verse makes a few quite interesting points. I mean, they are actually all very, very wonderful. But just to present two points, I want to start with the last point. Krishna is the eyes of the illusory energy. See, even if you are in seeing something which you think looks very attractive, if you see something which is very attractive in Maya, that is also Krishna. We hear an extraordinary explanation regarding the downfall of Maharaj Bharata. I think every one of you is familiar about this great Kralj who gave up his worldly kingdom as if it were a warm stool and went to the forest to take up renunciation. Everyone knows this story? Who does not know this story? Everyone, so there's no need to explain. He had this downfall because he was attracted to this deer. You might remember. Now the explanation is given in Shastra that when he was attracted to the deer, he was actually only attracted to Krishna. Why? Deer and Krishna don't look very similar. No! The eyes of the deer reminded him of the eyes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. A deer has very nice eyes. If you have seen a deer in the eyes, it's difficult to find a deer and look at them. But they have large eyes and very dark eyes. And also the eyes appear to be full of emotion because a deer is always... It's a very emotional animal. You know, it's very, very, very fine sentiments, so to say. Not quite, you know, it's an animal, but it reminds one. Therefore, in love poetry, you always have, I looked in your eyes, and now I am a believer. The song of the monkeys, you might. I saw her face. That I am a believer. So this refers to the eyes, and it is a very list. And yes, in love songs often it is composed. The composition goes: your eyes are like that of a shy deer. You might remember from your past life. I mean, before you became a devotee, that having read this. Your eyes are like a shy deer in flight, you know. So, Hare Krishna. So that was the reason why Maharaj Bharata, he was reminded when he looked into the eyes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is the explanation given in the, by the acharyas in the Shastra. So, here it says the eyes of the illusory energy, that most attractive aspect of Maya, that is also Krishna. Krishna is also to be found by the pure devotee within the material energy. I always tell the story of how Prabhupada went with his devotees to bathe in the ocean, and his devotee said, Prabhupada, this is complete Maya, isn't it? We are bathing in the ocean, so much nice water, swimming and rowing. No, where's the Maya? The sun is the eyes of the Lord. The ocean is the belly of the Lord. And the trees are the hair on the body of the Lord. Where's the question of Maya? Because he saw in this material energy, he's seeing, you know, Krishna looking to the devotees, encouraging the devotees. So this is what is meant here. And he is the eyes of the illusory energy. A devotee can see everywhere his beloved Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, another interesting point, which I find very amazing, is the first point which is made in the shloka. Sad abhasam asati pradipatyate. The transcendental soul, means liberated soul, realizes the absolute personality of Godhead, who is transcendental and who is manifest as a reflection even in the false ego. This is a little difficult to understand. How can you see Krishna in someone's false ego? This devotee is interesting. Please wake up. This is interesting. It is very interesting what we want to discuss now. It's about the false ego and how to see Krishna within it. This has been explained by Shukadev Goswami. It has been explained, why is someone attracted to the body? Because the soul is inside. I think this is very easy. We are all very attracted to Jagadatu and his beautiful teeth and his interesting talk. Jagadatu has already, he has told me that he doesn't mind, so I'm always on his case. I'm allowed to do this. We are attracted to Jagadatu because the soul is inside the body. If the soul would leave the body, we would immediately throw the body into the lake. No attraction any longer. Think, although he is very pure and usually is smelling like the best soap, but in the time of death, you know, that same body becomes useless. So we are attracted because the soul is there, and even Jagadatu is attracted to himself because the soul is there. Now the soul is part and parcel of Krishna. So in actuality, Jagadatu is attracted to Krishna. And if we are attracted to other persons, we are attracted to Krishna only. A liberated soul sees this and goes directly to Krishna. He understands that if he forgets Krishna and is attracted to someone, maybe because of his body, this is Maya, this is illusion. He bina prakriti, what is it? Bhayam dvitiniye shataya sat asat apetoto viparyaya smriti, that if you have the intelligence that you see something as separate from Krishna, your intelligence is topsy-turvy. You will see it not in the right way. Everything is part of Krishna. Even Krishna is reflected in the false ego. That false identification with the body is only possible because the soul is there, which is part and parcel of Krishna. So, why this binadrik, it's called in Sanskrit, this separated vision, where you see the world and the persons different as Krishna. The reason is your intelligence is topsy-turvy. It's just like when you have a computer, sometimes the computer gets things wrong. And when you look onto the screen, you will see signs which you cannot read, isn't it? It looks like Hebrew, but it is not. It is not to be understood. Then if you push a certain button, F5 or F7, and GX, Epsilon, YZ, Kripa Dayal will be able to tell us what buttons we have to push. Then, what has not made sense before, all of a sudden, makes sense, isn't it? You have to find, I think, the right program. Then all of a sudden, it makes perfect sense. So, in this world, where we are seeing false ego and beautiful ladies and beautiful men and beautiful Maya, you have to find the right bottom. And then everything gives sense. Oh, even in false ego, I can see this is there because Krishna is there. Or if I look into somebody's purse, eyes, and become attracted, I should see, oh, Krishna is there. Look, this lady is so beautiful because Krishna has invested some of his material energies into her. If we look at anything, if we look into the naked eyes of material illusion, we can understand, oh, this is just, Gita says, it's just a spark of Krishna's beauty. Like you have a huge fire, which is very, very glaring, so much light. When a little spark comes, it's only a little bit of a fire. Sisigo Nidaiki! So, this is the vision of a Vaishnava. It is the restored vision of the Vaishnava. Anyone who only sees matter, he is actually blind. His vision has been lost. So the Vaishnava, Thakur, he has this right vision, and he is not disturbed. There is no cause for anxiety. Bhayam divitiniyesha tayas. Yet this bhaya, this fear, is only there as long as you see something as separate from Krishna. When you are understanding it is together with Krishna, there is no longer any fear. You understand, this is all my father's property. He will protect me. No problem. This is all made for my ultimate good. He will take care of me. Why should I be afraid? Krishna is present. He sees me. I am within the arrangement of Krishna. Of course, in order to see like that, you have to desire properly. Why is Krishna consciousness so easy and so, so difficult? It is because in Krishna consciousness, we have to learn to desire purely. We have learned to desire impurely. And now, we have to learn to revert this process. It is said, it is especially in a temple, we must take care that our desires are always all right, always Moshe. We must always be together with Vaishnavas whose desire is right, so that we take part in, that we become infected by the proper desire to please Krishna, to think about Krishna, to hear about Krishna. This is very, very important. It is said, it is better to be in a brothel. Brothel, you understand? How is the Kivana Kruch? Kivana Kruch? Brothel means where the unchaste ladies are earning money. So, it is better to be in there and think of Krishna than to be in a church and think of the brothel. There is a nice story in this connection. Once there were two Buddhistic monks, not Krishna conscious devotees, Buddhistic monks, they usually do all kinds of things. So they were walking and wanted to visit a temple. And on the way, there was one lady, this brother lady, how are they called? Prostitute. And the prostitute implored the two monks, please, some of you, stay with me. Preach to me. So, she actually wanted to bring, to make one monk fall down. She somehow had this temperament. So, Krishna, not Krishna, I'm thinking of another story, so therefore. So the monk went with this lady, and the other monk went to the temple. Now the monk who was in the temple was constantly thinking, well, maybe I should have preached to this lady. It's interesting to preach to such ladies. You never know what happens, you know. And the other monk was thinking, oh no, why am I staying and, you know, trying to help? She is very lusty. She's just after my kid, me, you know. Oh, it would have been better. I would have gone to the temple. He was constantly meditating about the temple. So he was in better Krishna a better Buddhistic consciousness than the monk who was in the temple thinking about this lady, you know, in a material way. So this story, I think, is very nice. Now I want to tell you another story which is even more ecstatic. This story is from our own tradition. It is about... You will like this story very much. It is a wonderful story. It is about a Vaishnava, pure devotee of the Lord, who was having as his service, yes, he was making a flower garden. Like here, there's a very many wonderful manifestation of a flower gardens outside. So he was always picking flowers and making garlands for Krishna. And he was so absorbed in his consciousness, when he would pick flowers and he would see a snake between two flowers, he would say, he would not be disturbed. He simply said, oh, no flower, not interesting. Oh, then he saw, you know, some jewels lying there. Oh, no flowers, not interesting. You know, he was just taking care of making garlands for Krishna. So one day, a wonderful looking prostitute passed. Her name was Deva Devi. And she was so good, kings would stand in line before her house with their crowns underneath the arm, you know, to spend a fraction of a minute with her. he was so she once went to a very big king and passed this flower garland. So the king was there, was picking flowers. And then he saw Deva Devi. You know, and he said, "Oh, no flower." And he went. And Deva Devi was furious. "This Budala, he is not looking at me. He is ignoring me. Who does he think he is? Within 1 week, I swear, I will make him crazy after me. He will cry, but not Krishna, Krishna. Deva Devi, Deva Devi, he will cry. And I will make him forget everything." "Oh no," said the her sister was with her. "Oh no," said the sister, "don't say this. This is a devotee. He is protected by Krishna. If you make an offense against the devotee, you will suffer." "Oh, you are also a foolish lady." She was so agitated, you know. Because if there's women who are very materialistic consciousness, they are very heavy if they are not if they are ignored. This is the worst thing you can do to them. So Deva Devi went home. She took all the ornaments down and dressed in a very simple, you know, sadhu clothes. You know, then she took her hair, tied it up, you know, like a sadhu, and learned some of the verses this devotee had composed. Quick sloka class. Then she went before the garden and played with the instrument. I think it was a veena. And sang all the shlokas. So he was here. Oh, what a nice sadhu. Then for 5 days she was just praising Krishna, never sleeping. Very determined. Very enthusiastic. "Oh, what a nice devotee," he thought. Then one day it was raining and she became all wet. And then he was sitting in this house. But he was thinking, "What? I'm not such a nice devotee. She's so good. Let her sit in the house and I will stand in the rain because she's so enthusiastic." So she said, "Come in. Here's the house. You cannot sing very nicely in the rain. You should continue glorifying Krishna here." So she went, very shy, didn't look in his eyes. Thank you. Then she sang. And then after some time, she made like, and stopped singing. So he went in, Why have you stopped singing? Continue, it is so nice. No, she said, I have caught a cold. If I am in this wet clothes, then it will be very difficult for me to stay healthy and sing. So what do you want? Well, I need dry clothes. I don't know from where. I only have this. She was all wet. Yeah, she said, but I only have one cloth also. I can't get it. I'm not a good dresser. What can I do? Then I have to get cold and simply die. Okay, he said, well. And he gave her his clothes and took her clothes and went out. So then she continued singing. Then all of a sudden she again stopped. "This is very, very,
why am I stopping? And she sat there and cried, boo, 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 boo. Why are you crying? Well, now this is the seventh day. On the eighth day, I have to go back. My mother will come. My mama will come into the temple, get me, bring me to Novi Sad. Or to Oprah, or to Oprah, to Split or wherever. And then I will have to be again a prostitute. Then what do you suggest? Marry me! Then I'm yours. And I don't have to be a prostitute. We can do together devotional service. So he said that this is getting too much. But then he said, well, after all, I'm a useless devotee. I'm not so spiritual as she is. And when I marry her, at least I have saved one soul. So he married her on the spot. Sudden marriage. And then, just right after the marriage, she went back. And she left him. She didn't say a word, she just left him. And day in, day out, he was thinking, Deva Devi, why have you done this to me? You are such a nice soul, what have I done wrong? Have I hurt you? Or what? And day in and day out, he was thinking, why are you so cruel? Why did you leave me? So Deva Devi went back to her woman, to her mother, and stayed with her mother. Then Krishna, who had arranged all this, he made the scene even more terrible. He took a disguise as a brahmana and brought one of five pots which were used for the offerings of the deity to the Deva Devi. And he said, I am sent by this bhakta who is very sad, and he wants to give you this pot as a present. So the mother became angry. What, this pot? It must be millions of... It is very valuable. Take him. He is good. He has money. He can come and live here in our house. Because if he has one of such pots, he will have many pots. Then we can enjoy life, have much money. So Deva Devi didn't like this idea. She was a lusty woman, what, no use of having a sadhu as a wife, as a husband. So she reported to the men of the king that, listen, this so-called sadhu, he is bad. Because you must understand, after this pot was stolen, the men of the temple went all over town to find the stolen pot. And they also came to the Deva Devi. Deva Devi said, yes, I have this pot. And you know who has stolen it? This bhakta has stolen it. Because he is lusty after my breasts. That's your so-called son. So the man went and caught this poor devotee, you know. You have stolen the pot of the deity in order to pay a prostitute. What is this? You must be brought before the king for the court case. So a court case was made, and the king was supposed to give the judgment. However, he didn't do it. Because he felt, I know this sadhu. He is not lusty. Something has happened. So he was praying to Krishna, my dear Lord, please give me the idea of how should I judge this whole case? It's so crazy. So Krishna appeared in his dream and explained him everything. Deva Devi wanted to make the sadhu fall down, and I allowed it to happen, And I also was the one who stole my own pot and brought it to Deva Devi as a kind of payment. You now consider what is justice in this case. So the king was making the next day the court, and he called, asked Deva Devi to come, and he said, "You, lady, you have done such and such this. You cannot stay in my kingdom any longer." And he said, the devotee was not even, he was just sitting there, completely smashed. He was saying to the devotee, "You must be careful about Maya." So Deva Devi was chased out of the kingdom, and when she was chased out of the kingdom, she came to her senses. And she thought, "Oh, I was so lusty, I was so bad, let me reform, and let me pay my obeisances to this great devotee and pray his forgiveness, and then he will, I will be saved." So she did this and went back to him, and he was all very afraid. "Yes, I forgive you, but you cannot do your service here or near with me, and never do it again. To bring devotees to fall down." So I wanted to tell you this story because it makes a very nice point. Then we should never think we are so strong that Maya cannot capture us. He was a pure devotee. He was an alva. He was not some new bhakta. He had... He is one of the great souls in our tradition. But Krishna showed how we must be careful against Maya. If the beautiful eyes of the material energy capture us, even if we are women, we can this is irrespective of our bodily form. If the beautiful eyes of Maya look into our eyes and we become bewildered, there's a great chance that we are lost in our Krishna consciousness. So therefore, let us try to see Krishna in everything. However, this doesn't mean that you will go to the next cinema, you know, next night, "Oh, now Sachidananda Swami has said there's no problem. We just look into everything and see Krishna. I'm going to a cinema, you know, war cinema or lusty film or whatever, and I just think this is Krishna, and in this way I enjoy life." No. There are certain things in Krishna's creation which we avoid, and this we learn when we study devotional service on the Vaidhi platform, where we follow the rules and regulations which are given so that we are protected. The reason why I wanted to tell this is that even if there is Maya, you should learn the simple art of having a Krishna conscious vision. For instance, when you are attracted to the opposite sex, which is a problem in the summertime when you go to distribute and split, or if you live in Split. So what you have to do, what you can do is, you can understand this body to which I'm attracted is just a temporary thing. In a few moments of eternal time, this body will be shrinking and stinking and so on and so forth. Now it may look beautiful because it reflects the life energy, but the body itself is not beautiful. It is a life energy which is beautiful. That is part and parcel of Krishna. That I cannot see with my material eyes. So that I'm certainly not attracted now. I'm illusioned. So you can, by practicing knowledge about the illusory energy of the Lord, you can understand also the Lord. In the Bhagavad Gita it is said that a devotee should discuss janma, mrityu, jara, vyadi, old birth, old age, disease and death, because if he understands maya in the proper way, he will not be so much attracted by her. Or in the Ishopanishad it says, one should study knowledge and nations simultaneously. I mean, one should know about Krishna and about the material world. So when we are attracted to the material world, we should cultivate real knowledge about the material world, and then our attractions will go. If we are afraid of something, we should practice Krishna consciousness. I'm usually very afraid of operations. I had already 2 operations in Krishna consciousness, and I always, when I'm operated, my whole system flips out completely. I'm, you know, leaving my body and seeing my body or being operated, and that's all, it's a whole scenario, because somehow I have a very sensitive person. So last time I was operated, I remember I went to, it was, you know, I'm also a little afraid, so I made the date just after Prabhupada's appearance day. Because I thought if I leave my body, then I've just eaten a ton of prasadam. Then there might be some hope for me, you know. It was also a very serious problem, you know. I didn't know what would be the outcome of all this. I remember in Jamashtami, in Prabhupada's appearance day, I couldn't think of this operation because there was simply too much Krishna conscious thought. So there was no opportunity to be afraid. Then the day of the operation, I was still, you know, the kirtans were still going in my whole being, you know, Haribol, it's still an orchestra was of kirtaniyas were performing kirtan in my mind. So then I went to the hospital, and I remember I took a book with me, Bhagavad Gita, and whilst I was waiting in the waiting room, I felt this anxiety coming. You know, oh no, now they cut me open, and I have not one millimeter of trust in these materials, in these doctors. Oh no, and my mind started, you know, becoming afraid. So I immediately, because I had heard that spiritual knowledge is, when you are afraid, then you should have spiritual knowledge. I read about Krishna, very concentrated, and I could virtually see how anxiety was just going away. Then I was talking with the doctor, and he said, yes, very serious, we have to operate you immediately. But all right, why not? And then I was even saying, well, you know, then you can also operate here, and I have also a thing here, and so on and so forth. And I gave a list of 4 things they should operate on. I remember, and then right, then the next day I had to return they give you the injection. First they shave you off where they want to operate, they take the hairs off, and then you feel like a Jew, you know, and before the gas chamber. So, but still I was all the time reading, they were giving me the injection, I was reading. When are you stopping reading? They said, well, when I'm out, you know, when I can't read any longer, just wait, it will come soon, you know, I will, the book will fall, you can just take me, but let me read for the time being, so that I, because this is, otherwise I will be full of anxiety and you won't have your fun with me. So I remember, it worked so good. There was no anxiety. I still, when I think of this operation, you know, it was so terrible. But because of this transcendental knowledge, there was no anxiety. I can't understand it, because usually I'm not a very brave person, you know, it's just, I'm very afraid of being cut up by doctors. So, this was of, This is one thing I wanted to tell you. If you just have your faith in Krishna consciousness, and just read and chant in a proper way, even anxiety and fear cannot have any control over you. What to say of lust and anger and greed and all these things? Whenever you feel you're getting down in your consciousness, just take this thing serious. Have contact with Krishna through reading his books and chanting his holy name. This is a very important message. That if you ask me what I know of Krishna consciousness, that's all I know. That's all I have understood, but it's enough. Just take shelter in Krishna's holy name and in Krishna's, in the knowledge of Krishna. This is one thing which I wanted to explain today, because this will help you to see everything in a Krishna conscious way, even if you are in trouble. The second thing is, I wanted to, because here we have the Sankirtan devotees. I'm not so qualified to speak about Sankirtan, because I'm not a Sankirtan devotee myself. Actually, in a way I am. I'm preaching to devotees to bring them out on Sankirtan. This is my favorite preaching. I want to tell you a little bit, because often it is, we ask the Sankirtan devotees, what should we say? Isn't it? Kva vecha. I want to read you what Prabhupada said, what we should say. Okay? You have, put it now, you have to be at your best. You have asked me for suggestions of what to say to different persons on Sankirtan party, but there is no specific saying to any person. Whatever we say to everyone. That means one mantra. It doesn't matter what is his age. Krishna consciousness teaching does not depend on the age. It is the eternal platform of the soul. This is the meaning of transcendental, that it is beyond any consideration of material qualifications such as age or intelligence. Just like thunder in the sky does not need any explanation to any old person or to a young person, child. Similarly, the transcendental sound vibration of Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
And preaching of Bhagavad Gita philosophy will act on everyone, regardless of whether or not they are understanding at first. When preaching, you only repeat what you have heard from the disciplic succession, and this will act. So continue to push on as you are now doing, and as far as possible distribute our books and magazines. Now that our press is ready in Boston, we have more than 12 books which are ready to be printed. So with your help, I wish to overflood the marketplaces with our literature.
We were up to the neck in literature, overflooding.
Now people are reading all kinds of nonsense books, and thus their reading capacity is helping to pave their way through the circles of birth and death. If they will simply take to reading this transcendental literature we are presenting, the same reading capacity will elevate them to the highest perfection of spiritual life. So this is a very important task we are doing.
I wanted to say, our transcendental book distributors should be very thankful that they somehow are engaged in this wonderful service of distributing books. They are doing what is most dear to Srila Prabhupada. And they are paving the way for all this wonderful preaching.
See, whenever I'm in Yugoslavia, I become the complete nectar bee. I just preach like anything as possible, as much as possible. And I'm always so thankful for to the Sankirtan devotees, because I can, the people, many people which we meet, they have read our books and they are so enthusiastic after reading these books. They are so hungry after this book. They are thirsting after this spiritual knowledge. And when they get it, it's just so, so amazing how the Yugoslavians can turn, you know, because they allow themselves to be touched on the heart. This is what the Germans don't do. You know, oh, I'm feeling some ecstasy. This must be craziness, you know. The Yugoslavian, like I was seeing in this theater play with Jogi, what's the name? Huh? But I could understand, this is how Yugoslavians are. The heart, huh? So by distributing our books to these kinds of people, I think we can have a Yugoslavian revolution. People are tired of any materialistic revolution. I gave this interview in Beograd on the radio, and I was just amazed. Why are people so? Why is this reporter so interested in Krishna consciousness? Yes. Maybe the devotees have tricked me. They have put a devotee with a book, you know. I was just there. So I asked him, and he said, well, you have to understand, we have no attractive religion here. The Christians have all taken sides, you know, with these political nonsense. Serbia against Ljubljana, you know. these nationalistic tendencies. And therefore, they are not, we can't really take them serious. People in the Orthodox Church, for instance, in Beograd, the Orthodox, they are very much for Serbia, isn't it? They are very politically minded. They, you know, they have this nice hat, but unfortunately they had two hairs come eyes, and they are in bodily consciousness. And the other Christians have also become sluggies to materialistic society. So the only ones who are attractive are you, who are non-political. I always say, you know, when we start lecturing, I excuse myself. I say, Ishvini, that I cannot speak this the sweet Yugoslavenska language, you know. And then people think that I think Yugoslavia is one, you know, because I don't say Serbia and Croatian and Serbo-Croatian and whatever language, you know. But they understand that this is completely unpolitical. It is transcendental. Kripadayabhu has informed me about the nationalistic fights, so I'm in full knowledge. people want this Krishna consciousness. They want something which is transcendental. And it is our duty to give it to them. So I feel if the book distributors just become very serious and continue pushing on this book distribution, I think you can be number one in the world, you know, and Hari Namananda will simply cry tears. Why have I not taken birth as a Yugoslavian? There I could have distributed much more books than in Switzerland. All great things in Krishna consciousness are achieved with labor, with endeavor. Our Bombay temple, it was so much labor. Our printing books, in the beginning it was so much labor. You remember how Prabhupada printed his first books. And in Yugoslavia, we are also laboring intensely. The devotees want to have a new temple near the town, near where some people can come. And book distribution is difficult because of the Dina jumping up and down like a ghost. You know, you can never know where it is. So it is certainly not easy. But because the devotees are pushing on, there will be a wonderful result. It is a law. Wherever devotees are sincerely pushing Krishna consciousness, there will be great success at the end. It is a transcendental law. So I want to encourage you all to once again tell you how I'm simply, my whole life is, life's changes whenever I cross the border to Yugoslavia. It is so nice here. So, okay, this was what I wanted to present. We have a plan today at 12. We have changed a little the plan, isn't it? Maybe you tell this in the Serbo Croatian language. The temple commander is smiling.